Well, today feels like a blast from the past for me, because for about 3 years, I would arrive early with the trailer, either to another school, and then I would open up service, and after the music was over, I'd have people greet one another, and I'd give a few announcements, and then I would invite Pastor Ryan up to preach, because Ryan is actually the pastor. He's the reason I got to come back to Spokane, because Ryan planted True Hope, what, 7 years, 8 years ago? 7 years ago. And they recently bought the Lincoln Center. But before they were at the Lincoln Center, I was on staff there. And I'm very excited to introduce to you someone this morning who was my pastor for a number of years, absolutely was my mentor. A connection point would not exist if Ryan didn't help teach me how to do mobile church and how to lead. And I felt like I was in a leadership boot camp for the 3 years I was at True Hope. And he's also my friend. And you guys may not realize this, I've mentioned it before, but now you can put a face to the name. True Hope's been one of the biggest donors that's helped us get started. They paid my salary for 6 months during the transition as we were getting the church started. It's their trailer that we're using. It's their microphone. Oh, well, they're ours now, but microphones that are on the drums. Some of these carts that we're using, I actually procured and designed when I was at True Hope, and then Ryan gave them to us. And so they've been very generous to us. They've been very good to us. And so I'm excited to introduce Ryan, and we are in a series on relationships. And last week we talked about encouragement. This week Ryan's going to share about friendship. Next week we got communication. The week after that is a mystery topic. You have to show up. And then after that, right before Valentine's Day, we're going to talk about romance. And so let's give Ryan a warm welcome as he comes and shares God's word. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It is an honor and a privilege to be here. Super excited to share in the story of Connection Point Church and all that God is doing. I was telling Pastor Barry and Angel, it was a long time ago, True Hope, or we were in a elementary school, and this one's way better. So great choice. Way better than the one that we were in. And so anyway, Barry, thanks so much for having me here. Again, it's an honor. Super excited about all that God's doing at Connection Point Church and doing in your lives. And really cool to be part of worship and singing together and worshiping the same Savior, the same God, the same creator of heaven and earth and pursuer of our hearts. I want to fit as best as I can into what it is that you guys are studying and working through. So relationship series, which is really exciting. Not too long ago, I was able to teach on this particular subject at True Hope, talking about the power of friendship. Let me just start here real quick. Why in the world would we take some time out on a Sunday in the middle of a gathering and talk about friendship? It might be obvious. You might say, dude, it's a huge part of life. What's your deal? I think it's bigger, though, than just whatever our felt needs perspective is about friendship. Friendship is significant because we actually are made in the image of a community God. He is Father, Son, and Spirit. God is community himself. And so you could say in an interesting way, God is friends with himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. And friendship, practically, is the skill and the skill sets required, like blood running through veins in a body, friendship is to community. God is a community God, and his church is made in his image. We are made in his image as individuals, and collectively, we need friendship if we're going to healthfully image the truth about our Creator to each other and to the world. Friendship matters because it is revealing and empowering and showing community. Also, friendship matters. I think you'll get this one real practically, because real friends are few. Real friends are few. The word friendship, in my opinion, is too often co-opted in our culture for the word relationship. I know that's a title of the series. It's not a bad title. Relationships are real. We have them all over the place. You have a relationship to people, you have a relationship to work, you have a relationship to technology or a lack of relationship to technology. We have relationships to all sorts of stuff, but you can't say you have friendships to some of those things. Real friendship is few, and it involves people, as image bearers of God. You know, this is the epidemic in our culture with social media. I'm not going to tell you what my device told me because I'd be embarrassed, but my device told me about my screen time this week. I don't know if anyone's using that new feature in the technology we have if you have a smartphone. And so mine told me this morning, hey, just so you know, big guy, it didn't say that, but that's what I felt like. I felt like I was being treated with that kind of, you know, patronizing comment. But you've spent X amount of hours per day staring at your screen this week. I was like, what? Here's the challenge with this. Through, you know, the significant spread of social media, we have a bunch of people. You might be this person. I might be this person. Who's confused relationship connection points to friendship, right? That popular social media site, Facebook, says you have how many friends, but you don't. You don't. Quit it. You don't have 476 friends, or if you're really popular, over 1,000 friends or whatever. The funniest part now is apparently, and I'm nowhere near this, but some people hit 5,000 friends and they're no longer able to have a Facebook friend page. They now have to have a public figure. That's when you know you're doing it wrong, because you don't have that many friends. And if you mistake that many relationships as friendships, it's going to set you up and me up for unreasonable expectations. Where I imagine that everyone in my life can operate on the level of what genuine friendship is, when that's not actually possible. Too many of us run around thinking this is a friend relationship when it's really a relationship. And we have to manage these distinctions and differences. Sadly, this is true for some people in the area of their marriage. It should be a friendship. That should be the basis of that relationship. But it might just be a parent partnership with the kids we brought into this world. And the epidemic of people getting divorced later in life would seem to indicate those are some problems that we have in our culture. More people than ever are getting divorced later in years of life after their kids have left the home, because the reality is the only reason they're staying together is because the relationship is built on parenting and it's not built on friendship. Amen. Friendship is so vital. Not only is it the skill set, the blood running through the veins of community, it matters because friends, real friends, are few. And in a day where you and I are over-connected and over-stimulated, we have a temptation to put the burden of friendship on things that might just be relationship. And we also have the temptation, and this is what I'm going to talk about, to think that we actually don't need friendships. We just need relationships. And that's so not true. You and I were made for genuine, vibrant, deep, significant friendships. We were made for this, and it would be to our peril, both spiritually and emotionally, to try to go through life without real, powerful friendships. I want to pray, and then we're going to go to the scriptures together. I want to look at a very well-known verse in Ecclesiastes, and then I'm going to give you some practical understanding or advice on what healthy friendships are, and we'll look at scriptures throughout that entire process. Would you join me in prayer as we ask God to speak to us this morning? Father, I come before you humbly and deeply desirous and in need of you to work through me by the power of your Spirit, that there would be more of your Spirit, more of your word, and more of your truth, and less of Ryan here today. God, there's a wonderful group of people here that have gathered and said, God, teach us. Teach us what it means to live by the wisdom of your word and by the power of your Spirit. Teach us to have our constant awareness and identity anchored in the gospel truth. That God, when we were your enemies, you sent your Son to die for us so we could be your friends. God, teach us the power of friendship. God, I pray that you would speak to every heart uniquely and powerfully, for the purpose of transformation, of repentance, faith, and obedience. Help us, help us, help us, help us, help me. Help me, help me, help me. I need you, God. In your name I pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is the most popular, maybe like marriage tidbit, right? This is a verse that actually is not talking about marriage, but it gets kind of co-opted. And if you're doing a wedding or something, it's like, here's a good verse. And we talk about this as we tie together some knots or something. Verse 9 and 10 of chapter 4 Ecclesiastes says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Whoa. Some great advice on friendship, practically the power and significance of friendship, which is for all people of all ages in all stages of life. It's not just for married people. It's not just for young people or people that are advanced in years. It's for all people. And the illustration that is brought up here to our attention is the significance of this, that as people, we will need someone else pretty significantly at some point in our life. We will, please hear me, fall. We'll trip up. We'll struggle. There'll be a season we go through where we won't know what to figure. There'll be a season we go through where we fall, we skin our knee, and the power in this moment is if there's friends, not relationships, friends in our life who can lift us up when we fall. Friends are a part of God's answer of getting us back up when the inevitable falls happen in our life. If friendship is a must, if we need it, let's get practical now. What does it look like? I want to give you five things. I know you have some notes right there on your seat, or you received them when you came in. On the backside there, you can fill in some blanks if you so wish to do. Let's talk about healthy friendships. We need them. We know that. The scriptures talk about them, so let's build a case for them. What makes for healthy friendships? Firstly, healthy friendships are reciprocal. They're reciprocal. I tried to think of a better word than that, but I couldn't come up with it. Reciprocal. The idea that it's back and forth. There's a shared investment. I think Jesus was hinting at this principle in Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38, when he said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it'll be poured into your lap. With the measure you use, it'll be measured to you." Now, Jesus here is talking about relationships. He's talking about walking in forgiveness with each other, talking about walking in generosity with each other, talking about walking in a lack of hypocritical judgment with each other. And there's this reciprocity here that means both ways, that helps relationships genuinely become friendships. It's been said that it takes one person to be friendly, but it takes two to be friends. It takes two to be friends. Do you want friends? Start with being friendly. Start with being friendly. When I commit to being friendly, I'm creating the beginnings of a friendship, a potential friendship. Let me just talk specifically. I know that this will be later on in the series, but I want to talk about marriage real quick because it's, I think, a very, very important friendship, a covenant friendship that God calls many of us to. A lot of people say in marriage, we fell out of love. We fell in love. It was amazing. And ironically, the problem I have with this descriptor, I know we use it all the time, shorthand, but if we don't think about it more critically, it eliminates the idea that I have a responsibility to cultivate love with those to whom I'm called to and committed to. The culture says, follow your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart. For out of it flow the issues of your life. And our culture screams, follow your heart. Your emotions are king. Oh, I'm in love with this person. I fell in love. I fell out. And we just follow this. But the scriptures encourage us to cultivate love, to guard our hearts. We choose to love, to invest in relationships. Yes, in marriage, obviously, this is very significant and a very unique covenant relationship, friendship in life. But also in those we're friends with, there's a reciprocity, a cultivation that's required. Often in the little things, the practical things, checking in with someone, how you doing? How's it going? How can I help? What's real? What's hard? What's challenging in your world? Reciprocity in the little things builds lasting and healthy friendships. Second component of healthy friendships is this: they're close. Healthy friendships are reciprocal, and healthy friendships are close. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." I'll get to the Christological significance of that at the end. But there's a way to live life where we have 1,000 Facebook friends, but no real friends. But there's also a way to live life that understands we need friends that stick closer than a brother. Now, let me just talk to the men real quick. Talk to the fellows, okay? Stereotypically, I'm going to make some generalizations. And I know none of us like generalizations. But if I tell you it's a generalization, then you can be good with it, okay? Men tend to operate in more side-by-side relationships. They tend to as they work on a task or a project, consider themselves growing in friendship with someone next to them. It's generally how we're wired. It can be problematic, however, because if men struggle and use that as an excuse to not develop face-to-face relationships, particularly with other men, then they end up becoming shallow and lonely. And it creates all sorts of issues for men. Men tend to talk about the task in front of them, while women, another generalization, are you ready for it? Women tend to talk more easily about the emotion between them. Like, sometimes it's amazing. Some gals can get together and there's no task. There's no project. There's no assignment. And they're free, flowing in the exchange of emotional depth. And we're just like, huh? It's amazing. Well, God made us different and complementary, male and female. And here's the thing about closeness in relationships. There's so much could be said about this. I don't have the time to try to like give every answer to this. But I think if we want closeness in relationships, men tend to come at relationships that could become friendships from a side-by-side view. Women, much easier to be face-to-face and exchanging the emotion between them. But here's, I think, the principle, whether you're a man or you're a woman, that we have to embrace and get good at, and the scriptures are filled with examples of this. We have to become skilled at listening. Listening. Amen. This is an area I need to grow. I have a friend in my life. He's so much better at this than me. He'll get together with other guys and they'll be doing side-by-side stuff. They'll be, you know, working on something, a project, or doing something at the church. And just by nature, as they're doing that, he's kind of like prying, like, you know, how's your marriage? How's work? How are the kids? How's home life? Just really good at it, you know, and I'm just kind of like, well, that knot needs to be tied right there. And this ability to ask those questions, and then here's the key part. I think for me, just if I'm being really, really transparent, I'm like, Ryan, you got to get better at that. And then here's where I really need to grow. I can kind of like think intentionally enough to ask the question, and then with the information that I'm given, I'm like, great. What I need to get good at is listening. Really going, what clues did this image bearer of God just give me about their hopes, their dreams, their struggles, their fears? What am I potentially being invited into in relationship and friendship here? This takes skillful listening. It probably goes without saying, some of you, I know we're not talking about marriage, but like, hello. Very important for the marriage relationship. The ability to skillfully listen. This isn't probably new to you. I'm sure you've heard this. There's three levels of closeness that can be achieved in communication. I don't know if this is coming next week on communication, but here's just three ideas about communication. One base way we communicate with potential friends is via fax. Hey, you know, the weather's pretty nice. You guys liking this mild weather? I'm liking it. Anyone, by the way, just on a serious note, enjoying that it's not snowing very much in Spokane right now. Awesome, cool, four of you. Well, the rest of you, we're still praying for you. We talk about the sports. Are you watching the game later? We talk about a fact. We talk about something very, very base level. This is a low level of intimacy and communication. A level deeper is when we talk about opinions. And we start talking about, well, I don't agree with that. This is what I think about this political situation. Ooh. Which that's exhausting. But we talk about opinions, what we believe, how we navigate culture and faith, what we think about certain things. There's one more level, though, and that's where we talk about how we feel. That's where we really talk about. If someone ever asks you, and these are questions that you know you have a friend if they're asking you this question, you share about something going on in your life, something challenging in your health or the health of someone you love or in a relationship or at work, and someone asks you and they say, so what do you think about that? And you go, oh, this is what I think. You know it's a friendship when they look at you and they say, so how are you feeling about that? How's that really working in your heart? Now you know we're having the kind of communication that's close and that indicates friendship. So healthy friendships are reciprocal, they're close. Thirdly, they're fun. They're fun! Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Let's just be straight up. Sometimes as Christians, we stink at this. Everything is so serious. It's got to be so deep. I mean, just talked about depth and closeness. You're like, yeah, man, that's where it's really at. Yeah, it's wonderful. We can have friendships that navigate between fact communication, opinion communication, and feeling communication, but also know that it goes like this. You ever had someone that you're trying to build a friendship with, and it's like, can we just laugh a little? Some of us have this picture, I think, of Jesus that needs to be rearranged, that he like never laughed and joked with his disciples. I'm sure he did. Yeah. And I think there's this impression, particularly that religious people can give off, that everything is so serious. I'm telling you, there's this beauty to the ebb and flow of depth and levity in genuine friendship that's priceless. It's so needed. It's so needed. It's so needed for you to have fun with your friends. Everyone needs to learn to be silly and just laugh sometimes. And just laugh. Laugh at yourself. And laugh at stuff. Don't laugh at others, though. Unless they're laughing at themselves, then you're allowed to. That's my rule. You're not allowed to laugh at other people unless they're laughing at themselves. And then it's a clear invitation. It's like a neon sign says, join in and laugh with me. Right? Isn't that right? How it goes. Sometimes we just need to relax, go on an adventure. I think some of you in your relationships that are friendships, this is hopefully a helpful reminder for you. When was the last time you just said, man, I've had a ton of fun with my friend? Again, in the marriage friendship, when was the last time you said that about your marriage? Man, I just had a ton of fun with my spouse. Fun is an essential ingredient to healthy and powerful friendships. Fourth component, there's only five, so almost there. Committed. Healthy friendships are committed. So they're reciprocal, they're close, they're fun, and they're committed. They're committed. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Obviously, the point here is the power of a brother that sticks by you in the midst of incredible challenge and difficulty. Not everyone, of course, is your actual brother biologically, but you can have many brothers and sisters in Christ who are definitely your friends, who will stick by you through adversity. Life is a compilation of seasons. It's a compilation of seasons. True friends adapt to the seasons that each is walking through. Commitment is the foundation of a friendship that enables us to walk through all sorts of changes and seasons of life. I think about my best friend, and admittedly, we need to work on our friendship, but we have been talking more this week. We've been through all sorts of stuff. This was a friend that I met at 15 years old in my life. I'm 35. We've been friends for 20 years. We've lived in the same city. We've lived far away from each other. We've attended the same church. He's left the church that I lead. We're friends. And that we have been through so much, I would say political disagreements, theological difference and nuance. We're friends. There is commitment. And let me tell you something about this. It takes work. It takes work. It takes commitment to say, we're friends and we're going to continue to sharpen. We're going to continue to go after this because we know it's valuable. Now, please, I get it. There's a line. Everyone has lines in life that if someone crosses, the friendship would end. I get that. I'm not advocating that that's not the case. But I am saying you want long-lasting, lifelong, significant, and beautiful, and powerful friendships. You're going to have to find a deeper foundation than the current season you're in. Because your season will change. Your season might be a season where you're together because you work together, or because you're in the same church community, or because you live in the same city, or because your kids are in the same stage of life, or whatever it may be. But I'm telling you, there is a power of friendship that can go beyond those seasons, but it requires significant commitment. That's a real friend. There's reciprocity. There's fun. There's closeness, and there's a commitment to the changing seasons of life. Why is that so hard, though? Come on now, let's be transparent. I think a lot of us would say, yeah, I got some friendships that are fun. I got some friendships at varying degrees of closeness and intimacy, and there should be a spectrum there in your life. You can't have, by the way, I heard this analogy from a preacher one time. I thought it was so good, so I'm stealing it. I think it was Larry Osborne, I'm not sure. But he basically said, if it was him, I know the analogy was this part. People are Legos. You're like, where are you going with this, dude? People are Legos. In other words, we have a certain amount of connection points. That was unintentional, by the way, but I just slipped it in. It's just, there it is. We have a certain amount of connection points in our life. And some of us here, we're like that 2x2 Lego. You know what I mean? Like, we're like, you really need us to keep things together, but we are not interested in being connected to too many people. And some people are like that, like, 46 connector, and they're just constantly like, more friends, more people, right? This is the introvert-extrovert tension, right? And we're different. So I love this analogy, though, that we're like Legos and we are desperately in need of connecting and using our connecting points. But we all have different thresholds of those connecting points, a certain amount that we have that we need to be content with. And this is really important, I think, to understand about yourself and being committed to those things. But here's the bottom line. Why do we resist this? Why is this so hard for us? Because the bottom line is, we can have friendships of reciprocity to varying degrees and closeness and humor, but if we want significant friendship, it gets to this level of commitment, and this comes at a cost to ourselves. This comes at a cost to ourselves. Commitment requires cost. Fifth and final healthy friendship component. Healthy friendships are sharpening. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Very well-known little wisdom axiom here from Proverbs about iron sharpens iron. Friends, when there's commitment involved and the healthy components we talked about, will make you more fruitful. Friends will make you more like Christ. Friends will call you out. Friends will sharpen us. And why is it so hard for us to be sharpened? Because I want to seriously ask this question, and these are cascading intentionally. I think we get this from the playground early on in our life, learning how to have friends and make friends. There's this give and take, this reciprocity involved. Then we start to investigate how deep can these friendships go. And we talk about facts and opinions and sharing emotions. Men do it differently than women, but we have to get to this place of emotional vulnerability if we're going to actually have friendships. Then the risk is running them too deep, so we got to make sure we add in what? Fun and some levity, so they have some breath to them, some elasticity to them. And then the ultimate cliff is, will we commit to friendship over seasons? And finally, when we do that, I think if we can put that together, we're setting ourselves up for a friendship that can sharpen us and genuinely help us become more like Jesus. This requires a lot of work and a lot of vulnerability. But I want to encourage you today, we are not doing this in our own strength. I want to remind you, we're not pursuing friendship because of just some merely biological or accidental benefit of this human-to-human interaction. We are image bearers of God, and He is Father, Son, and Spirit, and we're made in His image. And this is so vital for your health, but also vital for your worship. Can you just imagine with me, please, a church, you're a part of one right here, that is growing in healthy friendship skills. Community is emerging because friendship is being learned. And not only is friendship critical for the church, the community of God, reflecting His image, His Father, Son, and Spirit, please hear this, it is also a critical component of mission, particularly in 2019. I don't know if you've thought this, but I feel this all the time in the over-consuming amount I take in technology and social media. Social media is a mess. A mess. Filled with virtue signaling and outrage, judgment and hypocrisy. It is a mess. And yet, what is our culture screaming? We genuinely want friendship, but we're settling for shallow relationship. Please hear this. The ability to make friends and grow in healthy friendship is an incredible catalyst. It's not the only one. We need the power of the Spirit and the potency of the gospel. But hear this, healthy friendship making is a catalyst for the mission of Jesus Christ. How do you think we got here 2,000 years later? Well, what we did is we had all these incredible technologies that were able to trumpet the gospel. It was like Twitter 2,000 years ago. No, it was friendships. It was friendships. It was friendships that would cause someone to say, Paul, I want to be your friend and follow you wherever you go and plant churches so that people will know the significance and the supremacy and the beauty of Jesus Christ. And even when you're absolutely crushed and you're in prison, we're going to come and we're going to help you. Friendship. Friendship. When Peter looks at Jesus and says, I will never deny you. And Jesus looks at him and says, oh, Pete, before the rooster crows, man, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but thrice. I'm adding thrice in there. It's a cool way to say it. But now think about this. Peter does exactly that. He fails in his friendship to his king, to his savior, the one that he previously said, where else will we go, Lord? For you have the words of eternal life. Peter fails, but Jesus, check this out, Jesus, after he's risen, what does he do? He runs Pete down like a friend. And he goes to the side of the sea, and on the shore, he cooks him breakfast. That's some reciprocity there. Jesus didn't have to do that. Peter sees it. Oh my goodness, it's Jesus. He went back to his old job. Peter's just gotta be a mess. He jumps out of the boat. He swims to the shore. He's soaking wet, standing vulnerably before Jesus. And Jesus said, here, sit down, eat. And then Jesus asks him some questions. It was close. He asks him some challenging questions, and Peter doesn't know how to respond. He says, do you love me? I love you. Feed my lambs. Hey, Pete, do you love me? Oh, boy, you already asked that question. I must have given a wrong answer. I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Oh, crushed. He's not having a conversation about facts. He's having a conversation about feelings. He's having a conversation about depth and intimacy with Peter. Peter's massively impacted by this. By what? By the pursuit of God, our friend. Jesus said this. I want to end with this. This is so important. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. The gospel is so beautiful. It speaks to every facet and component of our life. We tend to want to take this idea of friendship, and I get it, all the axioms of wisdom from Proverbs, and categorize this area of our life over here in the natural realm. This is significantly spiritual. Friendship is significantly spiritual. It's significantly God-centric. It's significantly gospel-centric. While we were enemies of God, he came and laid down his life so that we could be called his friends. Guys, whoa. Learning to be friends with God is the best training ground for me to be healthy friends with you. Yeah, amen. Friend, how is your friendship with God? I want to ask you that question today. Do you have a friendship with God? No. We use it. I have a relationship. No. Friendship. Because a lot of people have a relationship to God and a relationship to church and a relationship to generic, nominal American Christianity. That is not the question. Do you have a friendship with God? Because that's what he's after. And that's also what your heart and my heart is after. Our deepest satisfaction will be found in a friendship with God through Christ by the power of the Spirit. Let me ask you some questions about you and your friends after that question. Are you a good friend? Are you a good friend to other people in your life? Are you the kind of friend you keep looking for in others? Oh, you know, there's just no friendly people around here. Starts with you, friend. By the way, you're a super friendly church. I met a bunch of you, friendly, and stay that way, be that way, commit to that, cultivate that, because friendship is hugely important. Are you building and investing in friendship in your life? If you're married, is your marriage a God-centered covenant friendship? If you think about those five areas again and they build together, reciprocity, closeness, fun, the fourth one, see if I can remember without even looking at my notes, was, don't tell me, committed, thank you, Barry. And then sharpening. It's hard for the brain to remember five things. Sharpening. Which one are you most convicted about? Which one do you sense the Spirit of God going, hey, you need to focus on this particular area of friendship? Or maybe just generically you're here and you're saying, I'm just getting my mind blown that God wants to be my friend. He does. What would it look like for you to turn from how you are approaching friendship? We call this repentance. And embrace God's way of approaching friendship. We call that obedience and faith. Again, as I close, what's your step? What do you feel God's calling you to do because of the power and significance of friendship? Don't ever forget, Jesus is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is the friend who has laid down his life for those who were once his enemies, and now we can be his friends. Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now for Connection Point Church. God, I pray in Jesus' name that as they continue to cultivate and pursue the power of friendship, that it would be the blood running through the veins of a powerful community, a powerful church that gives witness to the glory of God and advances the gospel of Jesus Christ to the transforming of many, many souls. God, I pray for some that might be here and they are wrestling with this going, whoa. So the basis of this thing called Christianity is really about friendship with God. Yes, it is. Lord, I pray that every person here hears clearly the powerful gospel truth that you made the way possible for us to be your friends. Invite us into repentance. Invite us into faith. Invite us into obedience to be the friends you've envisioned us to be. And God, as we learn to be your friend, because you gave yourself to be ours, God, teach us to be friends with each other. God, teach us to walk out these healthy friendship dynamics. God, why? For your glory ultimately, but also so that the mission of Jesus can advance and continue to surge forward on the network of friendship. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing here at Connection Point. I pray by the power of the Spirit, you would fan it into increased flame. God, I pray for my friends here. I can call them friends as we have a